Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Mark. Our text message will be out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16 this morning. Mark chapter 16. We're going to read verses 9 through 14 this morning. That's Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 14. Please stand to your feet as you're finding the place in the Word of God this morning. As we honor the Word of God, as we read the Word of God together this morning, that's Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 14. Beginning at verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Easter. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for Jesus. But Father, honestly, every Sunday is a resurrection Sunday. But Father, we thank you for this special day we can celebrate because you've been so good to us by giving us a living Savior, which we've sang about so much today. God, thank you. Now, Father, I pray that you'd anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power as he comes and speaks to us this morning from the Word of God. Help us to have hearing ears and willing hearts this morning to do what the Word of God says. And Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, please give them the courage to settle that this morning. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask you now to check your cell phone and make sure that it is turned either to off or to vibrate, please. If it goes off during the service, an usher will come and shoot you right where you're sitting and drag your dead carcass out of this auditorium. And so please help us there this morning. We want to tell you that in Christian love before we get blood on somebody's new Easter outfit, all right? So help us there, please. Help us a lot today. We would appreciate that very much. Now sit still and listen. According to, I'm a Baptist clock watcher, just like you are, I've got approximately 9.5 minutes to get the message in this morning. I will take more time than that, but I wanted you to know I only have 9.5 minutes. Our expression here is I will be as brief as possible no matter how long it takes. We are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, dear people. Jesus rose from the dead. Death did not conquer him. He conquered death. Just that principle alone should put a big smile on a child of God's face. As we read in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus had risen, it says here, in verse number 9. I want you to keep your Bible open for a moment. I want to point out something very simple but important to you here. He had risen. The empty tomb had been seen. Godly ladies had come to anoint his body after his burial, and he wasn't there. They came, it says in the early part of the Gospel of Mark 16, they came and wondered who was going to roll the stone away from the sepulcher, and when they got there, the stone was already rolled away. Jesus had already risen from the dead. An angel announced that to them, and they turned in excitement to go and tell the disciples he had risen from the dead. And look there in the Gospel of Mark chapter 16, and look at verse number 11. Here is the disciples' response to the resurrection of Christ. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, last two words are, believe not. Verse 13, then he appears again to two other disciples. Verse 13, those two disciples go back, they tell the disciples. Verse 13, they went and told it unto the residue, and neither believed they them. Verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the leaven as they sat at meat. These are, ladies and gentlemen, these are the disciples. Now, this is not casual Christianity here. These are men who were followers of Christ. They were gathered together in an upper room now, and they were all concerned. The Bible says they were mourning and weeping. Jesus had died. But twice they had gotten witnesses telling them, but he's not dead. He's risen from the dead. And in verse 13, afterward, he, Jesus, appeared unto the leaven as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Why? How could there possibly be doubt among the disciples, for goodness sakes, about Jesus' resurrection? But you know something I find 2,000 years later? There's still a fair amount of doubt about the resurrection of Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. We can either celebrate this as a religious day. We can celebrate it as that day when everybody goes to church that doesn't go to church all the rest of the time. We can celebrate it as a day where we all get together with our families, hunt eggs laid by a rabbit. We don't have a problem with that one, but we got a problem with the resurrection. Okay, I don't get that. You know, a rabbit laying chocolate eggs. Oh, yeah, sir. And Jesus rose from the dead. I don't know. I don't know about that. I think to myself, man, what has happened to us? But why? Why would there be doubt about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you realize it's taught in the Old Testament more than it's taught in the New Testament? Do you realize the Bible is literally filled with prophecies and promises and premises that teach us that Jesus Christ would rise from the dead? Why 2,000 years later is there still any doubt about that? Ladies and gentlemen, the tomb is empty. You can go to Mecca and see the withered body of Muhammad, if you like, wrapped in a little bit of rags and lying there on a slab. Muslims will come on their holidays and circle that and pray and everything else. But the body of Muhammad is where the body of Muhammad has been for centuries now. He's dead. We have the ashes of Confucius and of the Buddha. We have all these religious leaders who lived and died. And it's a guarantee, ladies and gentlemen, those bodies are where they were planted. They're still dead. But the tomb of Jesus is empty. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, you have to understand something. I mean, even then, that day, they said that, you know, somebody would probably come and take his body and then say that he had risen from the dead. You mean to tell me after 2,000 years someone did not find the body of Christ? Look at all the stuff, the big hoopla they make out of religious artifacts today. And in Austria and in Germany, there was a museum that was supposed to have the spear that was thrust into the side of Christ and the crown of thorns that was on his head. And when Hitler took Austria, he went to that museum, spent all night praying for the power that killed Christ to come upon him in his endeavor and what he did. There's the Shroud of Turin now and all the scientific research and study, and it was a man and it was this and it was that. And the northern part of Italy is the skull of John the Baptist. In the southern part of Italy is another skull that they call John the Baptist's skull. One is a little bigger than the other one, and their explanation is the little one was when he was younger and the big one was when he was older. That's what they're telling people. And look at me, and there are people out there going, oh yeah, that makes sense. A couple of you out there right now, I don't know about you, right? You're kind of looking at me like, well, yeah, that kind of, you know, I get that, you know. There are a lot of people running out there without a head, but I don't think that's the case, and I know John only had one. There's all these artifacts. Come on, tell me that if the body of Christ was secreted away by his disciples and hid somewhere, you can't tell me after 2,000 years they would not have brought it forth and people would be bowing down and worshiping that like they do other things. There is no body to bring forth because Jesus rose from the dead. And the body that he took to the grave is the body that raised from the dead. He said that, destroy this temple. He spoke of his body, the Gospel of John says, and I will raise it again after 3 days. He said he would raise himself from the dead. Now, he's either a liar or he told the truth. And if Jesus rose from the dead, and for those of us of faith today, there is no if to it, he is risen this morning. 3 days and three nights after the horrible cross and the suffering of Calvary and the sin and the punishment and the penalty of mankind heaped upon Jesus Christ, he died, ladies and gentlemen. He was dead, no question. thrust a spear into his side, ruptured the pericardium around the heart. Blood and water came forth, and Jesus Christ was dead. They took him down off the tomb. They wrapped him in 100 pounds of embalming spices and cloth and put him in a new tomb that had never been used. They put a bunch of soldiers out in front of it to guarantee that no one would come and take his body. He was dead, ladies and gentlemen. And for three days and three nights, Jesus Christ was dead. But after 3 days and three nights, death lost and Jesus won, and he stepped out of that tomb and he is alive today. So, well, that sounds good in church, Pastor Johnson, but frankly, I don't know. I find 2,000 years later, there's still a lot of doubt about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. The reason for that is this, because the reasons they doubted then are the same today. Why? It was their doubt about the resurrection of Christ. Reason number one this morning is because they would not believe the Word of God. Jesus had told them. These are disciples now. He had told them, I believe it was no less than five different occasions, Christ told them that He would rise from the dead. He told them that. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to take and crucify me. But after 3 days and three nights, I will rise again from the dead. People knew it. Maybe, I'll read it to you. In Matthew chapter 28's gospel, Matthew's account of the crucifixion and the resurrection, it says this, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate saying, Sir, we remember that what the deceiver said while he was yet alive. After 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. What they did not realize was they were verifying and guaranteeing that the resurrection of Christ would have to be a miraculous event. They put 16 trained Roman soldiers out in front of that tomb to make sure no one came and took the body of Jesus Christ. They thought it was to keep those people from taking him. But it wasn't anybody from the outside of the tomb that would see Jesus raised from the dead. It was what was going on inside of that tomb that made the difference. And after 3 days and three nights, Jesus rose from the dead. But even his enemies knew that. Even the Pharisees, Sadducees, the religious crowd that was against Jesus, they knew what he had told them. The disciples heard him say it over and over and over again. Ladies and gentlemen, they doubt the resurrection then and they doubt it now because people will not accept what the Word of God says. Now, I can't prove it to you by scientific fact that Jesus rose from the dead, but you want to know something? I don't care to. I don't even want to try. I'm not impressed with those who set out to do so. Millions of dollars have been spent, hundreds of hours have been spent by people to either verify or to vilify the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when they're over and said and done, the only way we know is because the Bible said after 3 days and three nights, Jesus Christ would rise from the dead. Now, friend, look at me, not just about the resurrection. This is true about anything you doubt and don't understand in life. The answer is always going to be from the Word of God. Hebrews 11 and verse number 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you have faith in what God's Word says and you act upon that, the Bible says then you'll get the substance and the evidence, but the faith will come first. There were people, listen, these are people doubting Jesus rose from the dead, and they were people who were there. They could go and see an empty tomb. They could talk to people who were there. They said, we saw him. Two men came into their crowd that day and said, hey, we were walking down the Emmaus Road into the Gospel of Luke. We were walking down the Emmaus Road, and he appeared to us and spoke with us. And then we stopped a moment. And then the Bible said, it's as if a veil was taken, and we saw him. We saw him. Second witness that they had received that very day, in that very moment. Okay, they had all the testimony. They had all the stuff that we'd need. That would be a factual decision. But the problem is this. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't settle matters of doubt in life by what you think, by what you hear, by what someone tells you. You settle matters of doubt by what does God's Word say, and are you willing to trust the Bible? That's how we know. 2,000 years later, for those of us today who celebrate Easter as more than just a day, I woke up this morning way before sunup, and I have my traditional Easter sunrise service. In the early days of our church, I used to go to the cemeteries where our folks were buried. Now we have dozens of folks in different cemeteries around our city, out of town, in different areas. I've preached funeral services in different parts of the state and different parts of the world, actually. And I used to go in the early days of our church when it was much smaller, and I'd go Easter sunrise, I'd go stand at the graves of our folks. And I'd think about them. So yeah, you think about them being there, huh, Pastor Johnson? Oh, no. They're not there. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's a place where their body was planted. That's a seed. Every cemetery is a resurrection garden where one day God will, trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first. But I'd stand and think about them, remember them. Think about that glorious day of the great resurrection when we will get caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And I was thinking about them this morning early. So many of our folks have gone on to heaven now. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen, how do you know, Pastor Johnson? How are you sure of all of this? My surety is the Bible said so. That's it. Now, I'm sorry if that's too simple for some people. I'm sorry if there's not enough scientific evidence there. I'm sorry if I can't give you a DNA report. I'm sorry if it doesn't appear on somebody's iPod, iPhone, iPad, or anything else you got. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry that I can't bring a scientist, Dr. Reverend Wiggleips, up here to tell you, well, it's scientifically proven now that Jesus rose from the dead. Well, I'm not waiting for science to catch up. I'm not waiting for some man to tell me the truth. I know what the Bible says. Jesus rose from the dead. And our doubts are because we will not believe what the Bible says. Say, but you have to believe that by faith, Pastor Johnson. Well, you have faith in somebody this morning, and you have faith in someone this morning. Some of us today, we have faith in ourselves. That's a big mantra being chanted to the mindless masses of our world today. Just trust your own heart. Believe your own heart. After all, no, the Bible said the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The truth is, believing in yourself is just going to lead you to be a fool. Because a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's a foolish thing to trust my heart about this matter. Others believe they have faith in what people tell them. Well, there's this philosophy and there's that philosophy. And after all, there's this. I read a book one time about who the real Jesus was, written by some liberal scholar or theologian somewhere, who said, after all the study and research, the truth is the resurrection of Christ is just another religious myth. And I believe what that book says. I believe what this book says. This is the only one God has ever written. And this one says he would rise from the dead. And so my doubts are settled this morning. Can I ask you a question today, friend? Do you come today with a lot of doubts in your mind? Maybe not only just about the resurrection, but just doubts about things, doubts about life after death, doubts about this life and what it may mean and what is ahead of us. All sorts of doubts. Doubts are settled by faith in the Word of God. Doubts are created because we leave that. Why is there doubt about the resurrection? Because number two, they would not believe the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, the empty tomb is the truth. I'll take it by faith, and that's good enough for me. But if you need something to help you along, here's the second thing to add to that. The empty tomb is the truth. There is no body of Jesus Christ today. We don't need one. There can't be one. He's still in it, and he's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. It's the truth. He is not dead, nor is he buried. All other religious leaders are. They're dead, they're buried, or they're dead, and they were cremated, or whatever the case may be. That's the truth. The truth is, there is no body to go to. I can't take you to the place where Jesus' body is. I can take you where it was. They have an idea, possibly, outside the city of Jerusalem. Maybe there's a place there, a sepulcher. They did some tests on the inside of it. No man's body has ever laid there. Maybe that's it. Doesn't make any difference. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. There is no body to go to. That means he's in his body. He did rise from the dead. And since that is true, then Jesus, who said there is life after death, proved it. Now look here. Now, you understand the resurrection of Christ is more than Easter lilies and chocolate eggs. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is this. Then everything else the Bible says is true. Everything else Jesus said when he walked this earth, that is true also. Jesus preached 14 sermons on life after death. 13 of them were about a place called hell. Read it in Mark chapter 9, Matthew 24 and 25, Luke chapter 16. Read it. Revelation chapter 20, that was not Christ's words, but Revelation chapter 20 and 21. The Bible is very specifically clear that there is, after this life, there is heaven. The moment you die, there is either heaven or there's hell. And the moment you die, you go to one place or the other. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, we don't know that. You can't risk it. You cannot risk the possibility. You cannot. That empty tomb proves everything else that Jesus said is true. It's all true then. When he talked about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, how two men, one poor, one rich, both die on the same day. The rich man in hell, not because he was rich. The poor man Lazarus in heaven, not because he was poor. But the moment they died, they were instantly in their eternal places. And for 2,000 years, that's where those two men have been. One has been in heaven for 2,000 years, and one has been in hell for 2,000 years. And that's the way it is, ladies and gentlemen. See, it's all true. We can question it, doubt it, say it's not the case, close your eyes and say you're blind. Open your eyes, it doesn't make any difference. Truth is, you die, my friend, you will go to heaven or you will go to hell. That's the truth. And if we deny the truth, we question it, we won't embrace what the Bible says is true, then guess what that leaves us? It leaves us in this awful place Timothy spoke of when the Bible says we would be ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I have been in the institutions of learning where God has been removed and the truth of the Bible is taken out. And you know what they leave you with? Questions. And you know how they answer them? Theories. Now, I'm not a well-educated man, but last time I checked it, theory is not fact. Theory is supposition based on information. Yeah, well, you literalists that believe the Bible is the Word of God, I mean, you think it was a 6 24-hour-day creation. Most people think it was 7. It was 6. And he rested on the 7th, not because he was tired, because he was finished. But I've been there, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me. I've been to those places where they just leave questions in your mind. Critics. I love critics. All they can do is criticize. They can't answer anything. They just criticize. And they question this and they question that. No answers. Interesting. Interesting. Since Jesus rose from the dead, and he said he would, then everything else he said is true, and there is life after death, and there is eternity, and there is a heaven, and there is a hell. And Jesus is the way to heaven, and hell is the way you get there by rejecting Christ. And that means, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, that's true. Now I go there, Jesus said, I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, he said, there you may be also. Heaven's not here on earth, friend. Closest to heaven on earth I've ever been is a Cracker Barrel, and you Yankees don't even know what that is. Heaven on earth, my friend. No! There, he said, there where he would be, there we would go to join him. See, it's all there. Everything's there. It's all the truth of what he said. That's why God put the resurrection of Christ as a part of the gospel that saves a person. 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, the gospel, that which you must believe to be saved, to have salvation, eternal life, is this, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. You cannot have salvation just believing in Jesus as you understand him. You must trust the crucified, buried, resurrected Jesus for your salvation. God put the resurrection as the part of the saving gospel. How do you understand salvation today? Is it by baptism, by church membership, by good works, by good deeds, by living a good life, by being a good person, by doing the do's, doning the don'ts? Is that it? Or is it that you trust Christ's payment on the cross and what he did for you alone is the gift of God for salvation and forgiveness? You trust he rose from the dead bodily 3 days later, and that trust and dependence is all upon Christ and who he is and what he did for you and your sin. Then, my friend, you have salvation. Till then, you don't have it. And that's the truth of the matter. People have doubts today, and they doubt the resurrection of Christ because they won't believe the truth. Why do people doubt the resurrection? Because they will not believe the witnesses. These people, they were given two distinct witnesses here. Then they got one more. A lady who was there and had seen Jesus, empty tomb, came and told them, the tomb's empty, he's risen. Two men who met him on the Emmaus Road came and said, we met him, we talked to him, we saw him. They wouldn't believe that. Then the Bible said Jesus appeared to them, stood there, and upbraided them for their unbelief, the Bible says, because they wouldn't accept the witnesses God had given them. Well, no one's coming, no one told me, no one's ever talked to me that saw Jesus risen from the dead. Ah, but you know people, my friend. You know people today whose lives have been changed by this risen Savior, don't you? You think about an Easter Sunday morning like this. It was raining outside when I came to church. I don't know about you. I think it's snowing right now. But don't worry. It'll be 110 tomorrow. Welcome to Redding, California. And I'm not against Easter egg hunts. You want an Easter egg hunt all you want. You're just going to run them over the mower in a couple weeks anyway. If you're like me, it's a blessing. You get to hide your own eggs. Because you forget, and then you go out and go, where do I put that? Slow freight. You people get that later. All right, so we eat ham on Easter Sunday. Jesus was Jewish by lineage. Why do we eat ham on Easter? I don't know. But doesn't make any difference. So what? Okay, so we have an Easter egg hunt. Little children with their little Easter outfits on go out in the yard and they look for Easter eggs. My kids did the same thing. So my question to you is this. You've never met a perfect Christian in your life, and you never will. But where would we be Easter Sunday morning if it wasn't for Jesus? Look at me. What would we have done last night if he hadn't come and saved us and changed our life? What would our life be today if it wasn't for a risen, living Savior? You got witnesses, friend. You do. Yeah, well, I know some Christians and they're not perfect. Yeah, well, join the club. You're like the rest of us then. But wait a second. Hey, but wait a minute. They had witnesses that came and told them, we saw him. He's risen. I haven't seen Jesus, and no one's going to see him now till the cloud breaks and we go to meet the Lord and see him face to face. That day's coming very soon. But I talked to him this morning. Back in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a push in America saying that God is dead. And a well-known preacher said, no, God cannot be dead, because I talked to him this morning. And I spoke his name. And I called on the name of Jesus this morning. And I wasn't talking to something. I wasn't talking to a philosophy. I wasn't talking to an idea. I talked to him today. And through his word, and by the impression of the Holy Spirit of God, he speaks to my heart. And I've met people who are their lives are such an incredible testimony of what Jesus Christ has done in them. So we come to that and we say, okay, well, if I would have been there, yeah, but they were there and they still doubted. That would have mattered. Yeah, but if I'd have gone to the tomb, but they were those who went to the tomb and they saw it and some of them still doubted. Sad part is, you can go to Matthew chapter 28. Jesus is risen from the dead. After his resurrection, he appeared to all of his disciples together. And as he ascended back to heaven, the Bible said, in their sight, the Bible said they stood and watched him, and then this little statement is made. But some doubted. They watched Jesus go up right in front of them, and they go, nah, I don't know about that. I'm not sure. Friend, don't you understand this morning? Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Jesus has risen from the dead. We know it so because the Bible says so. There is nobody. And there are witnesses all around you this morning of lives that have been changed by this resurrected, risen Savior today. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know him? Have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Have you settled that in your life and made certain? Or is there still a question in your mind? The Word of God is the only way you're going to solve all this. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. Would you, heads are bowed and eyes are closed today.